We have an attitude about races, about winning and losing, that's taught to us almost from birth in this country. We compete in school. We watch college and professional sports. We're bombarded in the media with stories about competition and being the best. And now we've got to endure another presidential election. Constant news about that competition. We hear about polls that are taken to rate the candidates almost daily. And we haven't even reached the first primary election yet. Who's ahead and by how much? What would happen if candidate A faces candidate B for more than a year from now? In this election, there can eventually be only one winner. That's what we've been taught. Paul talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthians. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. In a competition, there's only one winner. But is that the way we should be looking at things? Are we in a competition to get into God's kingdom? And if we are, who are we competing against? I propose to you that the race metaphors used by Paul in several of his letters require a different interpretation. One clue comes in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, verses 11 and 12. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared by evil when it suddenly falls upon them. I've spoken before about paradigms. Paradigms are assumptions that we make about things. Here the paradigm is that when we run a race, there will be only one winner. What if I told you that in this case, everyone who enters the race can receive the award at the end? Paul reinforces this and gives us another way to look at things in Hebrews chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. He tells us to endure and not lose heart. He also tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who is leading in all the polls, the leader in the race every day. He's the example we must follow. Why do we need to change our paradigm about winning and losing the race? If our leader in the polls is our Lord and Savior, how can we possibly overtake him? We can't. What we can do is continue to run the race. We can also apply another metaphor to this process. That is training for a marathon. When you plan to run in a race like that, you have to train and train and train and train every day. You train so much that eventually you can't tell the difference between the race and the training. That's how we need to be. We need to train so much that we feel like we are running in the race all the time. Because we are. We're running in this race every day. How do we do this? By reading God's word, by praying, by being with our brothers and sisters, and by trying to apply the principles taught to us by our Lord every day in everything we do. If we can do this, what's the result? We find out in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We have to keep the faith and finish the race, and there will be a crown of righteousness waiting for us. We don't have to win the race. We just have to finish. Why is this new paradigm so important to us? Because Jesus has already won the race. In a traditional race, that would mean that no one else could win. It would mean that no one else could obtain the crown of righteousness. Jesus has been crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead and ascended to sit at God's right hand. We're about to celebrate those events by sharing the bread and wine here today. Does that mean that the race is over and we've all lost? No. Even though there's been a winner, there can be many more. Everyone who runs the race has the opportunity to stand before the judgment seat and be the subject of God's grace and mercy. He knows we may falter or stumble during the race. That's expected. If we look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 10, it says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. If we falter or stumble, we must do what we can to recover." This goes back to the training I was talking about earlier. We must use the principles we learn to get back on track. This is why it is so important to do our daily readings, to attend Bible classes, Sunday school, and our memorial services. But this training also involves doing every day. How do we treat the people in our lives? At school, at work, at home? Are we really trying to do the right things all day, every day? We know that if we follow His guidance, we'll be okay. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 15 talks about wisdom. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Because we all know what's at the end of the race. The crown of righteousness.